Right, welcome to Sheen Tech Talk. I'm Jeff DeLowry, joined here by Dan and Corey. Today is January 29th, and this is episode 22. We had another old episode 22, which we recorded about a week and a half ago, but we're moving to Audio Hijack Pro, but there were some issues, and a 30-minute podcast was cut down to 8 minutes with Audio Hijack Pro, and so we weren't unable to salvage that episode. And so this is the episode after that. The one thing we talked about was that episode, which you won't hear, was the new switch to Intel with Apple releasing their new Intels. And more importantly, now I went out and bought myself a 20-inch Intel Core Duo iMac dual 2 gigahertz, and first impressions, it's pretty fast, I'll say. And Corey bought some new computer hardware also.
What was the price on the computer?
The computer was it was $1,800. That was with a student discount.
That seems like a good deal.
Yeah, and also, when I went to the store, they didn't have a gig of RAM. I wanted to upgrade to a gig of RAM, but they didn't have any in stock, and so since they didn't have any, they're going to give me a free gig of RAM when they get one in, so I'll have a gig and a half, hopefully by next week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
Nice.
They have good customer service, I guess, since, you know, I'm like, oh, well.
Yeah.
And so they're going to give me that, because now with the 512, it's the, because I was using the ones in the store, the 17-inch and the 20-inch, and they both have, in the store, the full model ones, they have a gig of RAM in there, and they're faster than mine right now. That just says 512. Even the 17-inch, which is 2.8 gigahertz, is faster than mine. You know, it feels faster because of the RAM. With 512 RAM, you really can't do it. You know, it's, I can see those slowdowns. You know, so I'm just waiting for when things go up. But there are some speed. It's really fast. Like with opening Safari, the web browser, it takes one bounce, and it's like just. Surfing web pages and stuff and loading images and stuff, it's really snappy. I have the Sony HD camcorder, and when I was importing videos, before my Mac Mini, it would import at 1/16th of real time, and now on the on this new computer, it imports at real time, and it's really fast. And I was looking at, while importing the movies, I was watching the activity monitor, and it uses both cores, and like when importing video, it has like 269 threads, and but it's really efficient, and it's a really nice computer. But with Rosetta applications that are still PowerPC and being emulated, they run like at the speed of like a 800 gigahertz PowerPC, 800 megahertz. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
gigahertz.
Yeah, that'd be, oh,
that'd
yeah, even faster.
But, wow.
No, they run slow, but not they're bearable, but not as slow as the native apps for Intel. But overall, I'm pretty happy, and I have a dual 20-inch screen for them. But I sold three PCs to buy this.
Are those
beautiful
LCD screens?
Yes, I have a 20-inch, the one that's built into the Mac, and then a 20-inch Dell widescreen LCD. And so it's nice.
Wow.
And the new one supports, before the iMacs had to hook up an external display, you could only mirror the display, so they would show the same thing. But there were some hacks to get it to work. But this one supports it out of the box, that you can have, you know, extended desktop on tools.
Yeah.
Two things.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy. I'll post picture of a Sam.
I will post a picture of my Leet PC once I get that.
Yeah, so what'd you buy?
I bought a AMD 64 4000 Plus processor. I don't know the name of the graphics card off the top of my head. I think it was a GeForce something 256 RAM graphics card.
Nice.
And
mine's a
32. And then just a basic motherboard. It was like $80, you know, just to house everything.
Yeah.
Because I'm basically, what I'm doing is I'm getting those parts to use up some old computer parts that I have lying around. An 80 gig hard drive, a DVD drive, a CD drive, you know, just other stuff that I just really want to get rid of, but, you know, not get rid of. So,
yeah.
I'm building a gaming machine.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Are you planning on running the Windows 64-bit edition on it?
I don't know. I'll probably mess around with it, yeah. But
what are the system requirements for that? Is there anything?
64-bit processor.
Processor, obviously. But I don't know, like, memory wise or anything like that. But for right now, all I've got lying around is a 256 stick of RAM that'll be compatible with it. So all I'll be playing will be Counter-Strike. But once I get more money, I'm going to be upgrading to like a gig and a half or so of RAM.
Yeah,
You can get a gig for about $60. So
yeah, I was looking at Newegg. They have really good prices.
I use Crucial.
Is that a website?
Yeah, crucial.com, and it's really great. They have a whole thing that you can go through. It'll find the exact memory that you need for your.
Oh yeah,
computer.
You just like put in what kind of computer you have, and it'll tell you what memory.
Oh, that's cool.
You always steps like you that's put cool. in your thing, and then it down to the motherboard, it'll find exactly what you need, and
So, that's cool.
Yeah, so what were some big news stories that happened this past week?
News stories? I don't really know.
Well, I guess the announcement of Google's decision to go with China and, censor searches so that they would comply with the, you know, having them have the service over there.
Do you want to go into more in depth in that?
Okay.
To tell people who aren't, you know, don't know about this.
Basically, Google felt that their service in China was very bad because it was really slow and didn't work a lot, I guess, for people over there. So they decided they wanted to bring Google over there and make Google.cn, which actually exists now for China. And the problem was that the only way they could do that is to agree with censorship, which is something they were, you know, they're against. Censorship of, like, results, I guess. The thing is, I don't know what the filter, like, how it affects any of the searches, so I'm not, like, sure how big of a deal it is, but I guess a lot of people feel that it is bad. There have been some minor protests by, like, Tibetans or something about Google doing that. But Google feels that allowing the service, even with the searches, with the filters, is better than having it, like, as it is now with the crappy service, so.
Well, I have a question. This censorship, is that only for the China website, or is that for the entire Google?
Yeah, that's what I also don't understand, because I think it's only for the .cn, because that would make sense.
Yeah, they would not do it over... because in China now they have, like, government proxies that filter out the whole internet, so they can block sites. Like, there was an article in Wired, I think it was...
The Great Firewall of China is what it's called.
Yeah. But there was an article in Wired a few months ago about... how much sites they block, and a majority of them are porn sites and stuff like that.
Oh, that makes
and freedom of speech, and, you know, freedom of speech things, and but no, Google it would Google wouldn't block the whole server, but Google can, they have, you know, they can block off parts from, you know, what if they're coming from one site to another, you know, because I went to Google CN right now, and, you know, it's, you know, in, you know, I guess, you know, Mandarin or whatever, Cantonese or something like that. But they, you know, so when people access that, they could be accessing, you know, because, you know, it could be actually one of the Google servers, or, you know, a different, you know, sector of it, or how Google works is, you know, beyond what I know. But I think you know, Google wants that huge of a market. You know, a billion people. You know, seems like a big market to enter, yeah. But when you're willing to you know, go along with a government that's not so right, you know, not so good on civil liberties and stuff. It's not that good of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and even, like, well, Bill Gates agreed with them. Because, you know, like, there's no point in saying no.
Yeah, I don't know what else they could have done.
Yeah.
So. But, other news, big news, is that Disney bought Pixar, which Steve Jobs is CEO, and this makes...
Thrilled about.
This makes Jobs the biggest, largest shareholder in Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to my brother, who's a Disney employee, and he was happy about it. And so we'll see where this takes. But it's not like... It's not that big of a, you know, big of a change, because Disney had been working with Pixar for such a long time, and, you know, Disney...
It was like 20 years?
No.
I think it was.
Oh, yeah, maybe. They've probably been in talking. I don't know if Pixar's been around that long, but... But Disney needed Pixar more than Pixar needed Disney, you know? Because Pixar's been making, you know, money hand over fist for now with all their movies, and so, but I think this is a good move. I think Jobs probably wants to stick, has been, and sticking more with, you know, Apple and leading that company, you know, to the future, and I think we'll definitely see a lot more Disney, pricey Disney movies on iTunes and or whatever in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And
Now iTunes is...
They are 20 years old.
iTunes is confirming that they're, like, releasing TV shows before they air on networks.
Yeah, I saw all that. And they just...
That seems...
They just added...
That seems really cool. Yeah, so, I mean, they're obviously going to make a lot more money doing that. So,
yeah,
it's going to be cool.
The one thing I don't like is that some of the quality is not the greatest.
Well, if you're watching it on an iPod, it's okay.
Oh, yeah, it's perfect for an iPod.
Because it's for that, you know, it's that pixelation and that dimension, or whatever you call it.
Pixelation, yeah. Resolution.
Resolution, that's what I was trying to say.
But, yeah.
Sorry.
But... you know, if I really want a TV show, I'll still BitTorrent it.
Yeah.
But if, you know, $1.99, I still don't like paying for TV shows for some reason.
Yeah, I think that's a
waste. Well, like, you can buy the entire, you know, first season of Lost for $30. So, I mean, that's kind of cool if you want the entire thing and, you know.
Yeah, it just feels weird to me because, you know, like, if I buy music off iTunes Music Store, but, you know, but I'll listen to the song over and over again. You know, I'm not going to listen to one. I watch one show over and over again.
Well, if you think about it, say you canceled your cable and you had no cable, and you bought what you wanted to see off iTunes. If it became this big of enough place that had a good selection, you'd be paying the same amount as you would your cable bill for the most part.
No, I don't think so. Not at all.
Really?
Put it into the perspective. It costs about $2 for each show. Look, go to your cable and look how many shows you get in 1 hour, and if you paid for each show, that'd cost a lot.
Yeah, you're gonna be watching.
And
you're gonna be watching. You're gonna be watching. Let's see. There's 300 channels, and there's a show on each channel at a time. You're gonna be watching 300 shows in 1 hour.
Well, okay. So you watch one show an hour, and these cost $2. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, $48 right there.
So you're spending it 24 hours in front of the TV every day.
I'm just saying, if you buy a show once a day, it's If you buy a show once a day,
30 times 2 is $60.
It's still a lot of money. If you pay, say, you know, $40 a month or, you know, $30 a month for a cable, it's a lot more effective than paying $2 for each show.
I guess.
Because if you're watching a show and it's crappy, you know, you can just turn it off. But on iTunes, you're going to pay $2 if it's a good show or a bad show.
So
that's true.
I've never used iTunes, but, like... Once you buy something, can you re-download it if you, like, deleted it?
No, that's something I really don't like.
That's stupid.
Actually, if, like, say you had a meltdown of your computer and all your stuff, you could go to Apple, like, send them an email and say, look, my computer f***ed up and everything's gone. They can go back to their records and say, yeah, you purchased this stuff, and they'll let you download it again. There's been stories of people that have done that.
Oh, I didn't know. 'Cause Because if you say turn off, if you buy something and then turn it off, quit iTunes or something, you can see songs that you didn't download yet, but purchased. But I don't know. There's nothing, no feature built in iTunes that lets you re-download it. I wouldn't see why it wouldn't hurt Apple at all, because it's linked to your thing anyway with the.
Yeah.
Because like if they did that, then they could like, I don't know. If they started selling like seasons of shows, I think that'd be really good. Because I don't know.
Well, you can buy.
Well, they have like the entire. They have the entire like first season of Lost and stuff like that. You can do that.
Yeah, so you can buy like, the whole South Park for like $24 for the first season. But you know.
The problem is, does it come with any of the special feature stuff?
No. It's normally just shows. You get a much better deal if you just go to the store and buy a DVD. Because then you have a physical medium, you know, that you can hold on and then, you know, do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. All right, but now going back to the Intel, another thing going with the Yona is that there's a flaw that Tom's Hardware found in the new Yona chips and laptops that if you... If the like computer went to sleep, with the Yona would still use power and it would drain its battery power in like an hour or two or whatever. And this is a big bug going wrong with running Windows on Yona. And people were saying, oh, maybe it might be the chip, you know, that there's an error in the processor. But it was found that it was a driver for the Microsoft Advanced Configuration and Power Interface driver. And so it was Microsoft's fault why it was draining all this power when it shouldn't have been idle. It was a nasty bug, but now hopefully Microsoft will get its butt into motion and fix this bug. Yeah. So anything else
to talk about?
Corey has some stuff.
I was thinking about something. I just bought this morning a video game off of BestBuy.com because I had a gift certificate. Counter-Strike. And I was thinking, you know, they do all this stuff, you know, if you want to buy a mature game, you have to be over 17, they can go to the store, and most of the time they don't ask you, but if they do, you know, you can't buy it if you're under 16, or under 17, if it's a mature rated game. And, you know, there's nothing that stops people from buying the game online.
Yeah.
Say a 16-year-old, you know, somebody went online and bought the video game. You know, mom won't let me get it. Go online and buy it.
Well, you have to have a credit card, and you have to be 18 to have a credit card. So that just
gift cards. Still get your parents.
You can redeem gift cards online. Say you go to Best Buy and get some cash and buy a gift card. Say you got somebody a birthday present. Use it online. Get the game.
Well, I think you can't stop everybody from buying something.
I mean, that was just one of my theories, you know. There's nothing that validates age, you know, when you buy something online.
Well, how?
You know, you said credit cards.
Well, normally it's credit cards, because if you're 18 and have a credit card, and that normally weeds out a bunch of people.
Well, you can get prepaid Visa card or prepaid, you know, MasterCards and stuff like that.
Yes, but you have to have the normally from, how would you get that? You'd have to contact Visa, and how would you pay for that money?
With
a credit card.
Okay, never mind. Still gift cards. You don't have to use
gift cards. Because actually, I did that kind of sort of thing before. About a year or two ago, one of those movie sites, Movie Phone or Movie Cinema, one of those online movie websites where you can download and purchase movies, I didn't have a credit card at the time, and so I went to Best Buy and bought a $20 gift certificate for it, and I was able to download any movie, you know, with any age restrictions, you know, online from, you know, G to adult.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought, you know, that's one of my theories. I was thinking about something. What else was I going to talk about? It was something else. I don't remember. Another thing I was going to talk about is I recently got an invite to Newsvine. If nobody's heard about it, Newsvine's like a dig or a /dot. It's a social bookmarking site and news site. And it's really cool. It's basically like Dig with a lot more features. You have the ability to create your own column, write your own stuff, and read other people, what other people's posts and stuff like that, sort of like reading other people's blogs, but there's also the news from, you know, the mainstream sources. One of the cool things I noticed is when you set up your own column, they put ads on the column, and you get to keep the revenue that's generated from those ads. I'm not sure, I think you get like a portion of it, but you get like to keep the revenue that's generated by your column, which I thought was really cool. Newsvine, it's beta right now. You can only get it from invites. I was able to get an invite from a friend of mine. There's some really cool features, and if you know somebody that's already got one can give you an invite, you should really check it out. It's pretty cool. The website is newsvine.com. And another thing I thought was really cool was the theme of it. It's a greenish-gray theme, and it looks really cool. It's very clean. It's very easy to navigate, and it's not just limited to tech news. You know, anything that we'd find at Google News or something like that, like, you know, international news, health, technology, you know, stuff, entertainment, stuff like that, you can find it there. And it's really nice. So, if I get any invites, I'll be posting links to my blog, so anybody that can out there can check it out.
So is it like, so say if your story got to the main page and had, say, you know, 1,200 digs, you know, would that mean since you got more traffic, you get more revenue?
I'm not really sure, actually.
But is that how it works?
I don't know how the stuff gets to the main page. If you look like I'm clicked on the technology main page, and basically you've got the most active stories, which are by comments, like, one, 7 steps to turn your PC into a Mac has 17 comments, so it's the most commented story, I guess, of this hour or something. The most votes, people vote for it, obviously. Most votes has the latest iPod update gets rid of great feature, whatever that means. Haven't read that one yet. It's got 26 votes. There's featured writers, which are people that just, you know, write stuff and have their stuff that they think and stuff like that up there. So it's a pretty cool website.
What was the website again?
Newsvine.com. NEWSVIN.com. Or VINE, sorry, .com. It's invite only. You get an invite from another user. Basically like Gmail worked.
So basically you could give everyone on that listens to Teen Talk...
If I have invites, let's see, I have an invite friends link here on the side, so I'm clicking it right now. See if it says how many invites I have, or if it's just random.
Maybe you get one.
I have a total of 20 invites. I'm going to send them all to myself. All right, well, here, I'll send one to all the T-Tech Talk hosts, and then I'll post the rest on my blog, seaholt.net. And it'll just be a free-for-all. First people to click the links will get one. Teen Tech Talk will be the first people to get it. And please, if you've already got an invite, don't go and get them all. You know,
yeah,
be nice.
These aren't Pokemon, right? You don't have to catch them all.
Well, like, because if you get one, you can just invite yourself over and over, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I saw the invite friends thing when I first signed up, but I could be wrong. So maybe you have to wait so long, because I haven't done anything. I haven't submitted any stories. I haven't done anything but just, like, check around with it a little bit. So I've already got 20 invites. So it's not like most active users get invites or anything. They're just giving them out. And I don't know if I have more than 20. I see 20 fields here that allow me to enter email addresses for invites. Maybe after I send more, I'll get more. I don't know. So
cool.
It's kind of cool. So I'll post them all on my website. You can check it out there.
All right. And one thing that I found it was actually on Dig. But you can just go to Wikipedia and type in this, you know, search bar, "Hello World," and you know, that's if anyone you has done programming, and you know, picked up any programming book, the standard is the first program they teach you is "Hello World," and it prints "Hello World" to the screen, and it was the first time it showed was in like Brian.
Holy crap! That's such a huge page.
Yeah, Brian Kernahan. I think that's how you pronounce his name. The Complete C Guide, the first book on C, was the first book to ever do it. And I actually saw him speak a few months ago, but this page is great. It has "Hello World" in almost every programming language you can imagine, they have it in...
In Excel and...
Yeah, they have it in Assembler, COBOL, JavaScript, ADA...
Fortran.
Yeah, like Fortran,
Jambass.
ASP.
Frink.
D++.
Visual Basic.
Yeah,
Ruby.
Visual Basic, yay.
Casio FX.
I know that one.
9750.
SQL.
Holy crap.
Yeah, just a whole bunch of, you know.
Moo. There's a Moo thing.
Perl.
Yeah, Ruby. A bunch of, you know.
Batch.
Weird and different programming languages.
Oh, wait. Binary.
They have it
in
binary.
That's, not.
Really. They do, really? Seriously?
No, do they? No.
I don't know. I'm not looking.
Yeah.
Well, that would be awesome.
That's a base. What do you...
So?
Well, they all go into binary. They all go into binary, yeah. So they would all equal the same thing.
So, yeah.
All right, well,
I wonder which one's the fastest, though.
I'd say one of the assemblers. But check it out for fun. Like, it's really... I read through it the other night, and it's pretty cool.
We should add a Team Tech Talk page.
Oh, yeah.
We should, actually.
The best podcast in the world. Corey, go
with a whopping 70 listeners.
Add a Corey Holt page, too. Like, Sexiest Man Alive, 2007.
According to like, 35-year-olds.
Yeah.
The 2006 35-year-old voted hottest Team Tech Talk person ever.
Appeals to a demographic.
Corey has banged over 3,000 women.
Enjoys long walks by the beach.
Has contracted every venereal disease known to man. All right.
He's a fugitive.
Yeah. We don't want to slander anyone here now. All right. Well, it looks like...
Who's checked the email? Is there any email this week?
There's been no email this week.
TeamTechTalk@gmail.com.
Yes, the inbox is, you know, getting dusty.
Actually, no, it's not. I was there the other day. There was actually some stuff that we hadn't talked about it.
What?
Like, under other emails, I should just be like, hey, guys, check out this article.
Yeah, we're having... Well, there was actually a talk about... I read on one of the people from Tech TV, after they moved to G4... The screen, mm-hmm. The screensavers, if anyone is familiar with it, after they moved over mm-hmm. there, like after they fired everyone from they fired everyone from the show or whatever, mm-hmm. or before that they were actually getting their friends to call in and ask non technical questions to appeal to the gamer, you know, like crowd.
Oh my god! Like this. Well, now you look at like Attack of the Show, which was what was supposed to, you know, replace screensavers, and. It's crap. They don't talk about anything. They like talk about retarded stuff the entire episode.
They name it Attack of the Show. What do you expect?
It's a piece of crap. It should be Attack of the People. That's what it should be.
I used to watch Tech TV a few years ago, religiously, but now I don't even turn G4 on because it's turned to practically Spike TV.
Yeah.
Like they have
Star Trek. they've got Star Trek and the Man Show.
Yeah.
I mean, what the.
I
say the only thing I watch is X-Play, which was originally on Tech TV, and then Icons, which I talked to you about that.
That's the only show I lied. So I TiVo, I have a season pass to Icons. That's the only good show they do make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other than that, X-Play is good, but other than that, the channel's in the shitter.
Yeah. It's piece of crap.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then there's the web, and then there's the show. What's it called? Cinematech, where they play the beginning of every video game or something. Like it's the press start, please press start page of every video game where
that's
they play
so
the
cool.
preview of the game. That's so retarded. They spend 30 minutes showing cool. the. They spend 30 minutes showing the beginning of video games.
Maybe that's too long.
Like I don't know. How would you be, like, sitting in a boardroom pitching that to, like...
I know.
Like, you know, the executives at the TV station. Oh, we're going to... It's like, you know, we're going to do a 20th Century Fox intro credits. We're going to show our famous movies. And we're going to show the famous intros. All right? And we're going to make a lot of episodes of this. It's just stupid. Who wants to watch that? It's like watching a show dedicated to credits.
Oh, I thought, like... I thought like that was just the intro to the show.
No,
like,
that's the
show.
Whole. It's the whole show.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the whole show.
I think I'd watch it once or twice.
I would never watch it.
Oh. I could barely 5 minutes of it. It's like, God.
When I'm playing the games, I skip
through
like, that stuff.
How much time do they give between screens?
They like five shows.
Yeah.
Like five, you know, five things. You know, no, five, you know, clips, I think. I don't really
there's
watch
something
in
like
a
that.
Half hour?
Yeah.
Five clips, and it just sits there for like 10 minutes?
It's stupid. It's
no, this is what you do. This is what you do. You watch it, and they got their little catchy jingle, you know, or whatever it is, and they start playing the thing, and they play one, and they play like two or three, and then they go to a commercial break, and you see commercials, the same commercial for Star Trek and The Man Show. Then you come back and watch some more. Then you go and watch some commercials and some stuff about Attack of the Show and The Man Show and Star Trek. And then you go back to the show and you watch the same thing over again for 30 minutes.
It's
a piece of crap.
The log-burning channel is more interesting than that.
Wow, I could make a better show than that. See,
yeah.
What I would do?
Yeah.
Like,
my show was better than that.
I would have, like, the screens flash through like, really fast. So you'd get, like, 1,000 of those intro screens, like, in a half hour.
Yeah, your main audience would be stoners.
I really want to know what their ratings for that show is. I just really want to know who the retarded people out there that are actually watching.
The ratings for G4 are probably abysmal.
Yeah.
And so, well, you'll see. So, I think...
I mean, what were the people of Tech TV thinking when they let G4 buy them?
Well, no, it wasn't the people. It's Paul Allen. Paul Allen owns, it's called, like, Falcon... Or, well, it's, I think of it, Alf, it's like a Star Trek name, it's out of my head right now. Okay, but,
Centauri?
No, he owns, this Paul Allen, owned, Tech TV, his media company owned Tech TV, but then he put it up for sale, what, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, and then Comcast bought it, so.
Hmm.
When you're Paul Allen, you know, when you can own... The Portland Trail Blazers and the Seattle Seahawks. You know, a TV station is not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So.
Especially right. One like that.
Yeah. Alright. So I think we should end it if there's nothing else we have to talk about this week.
Robots?
Nope, that was about it.
Yeah, robots, no. This is actually the first this is the first show I think Dale... No, never mind. No, Dale was not on one of the second show, so... All right.
Oh, that was the one where it was just you and me.
Yeah, I was
all right.
In California. So I think...
that was a crappy-ass episode.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
So, all right, with that, bye.
And now Corey's oh, okay, fine. Whatever.
Fine.
I was gonna put in one of my jokes.
Do it.
And now we've got Corey from North Carolina live talking about something-something or something. Like, you know, like when you were doing the episode and we had the two... It was you at the first and then... Me at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and now we're going to come live to Corey in North Carolina, where we talk about something. Robots. Robots plan to take over the world.
Killer robots in... Yeah.
Jeff, I'm out here in Durham, North Carolina, and the robots are staging an attack.
The lawnmowers.
Lawnmowers are going crazy. I repeat, Jeff, robots are going crazy. One just stomped my car, and oh my god!
All right. I think with that, we have to end it. All right.
All right.
Bye.
Oh, that was a good episode.